This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
The NFL draft next Thursday night. You can hear it right here on ESPN 1000. All the smoke around picks being moved, all the conversations being had. Abdallah, starting to get juicy. The Lions are open to trading the number three pick. Detroit GM Bob Quinn said today they're having conversations about trading out of the number three spot. So the moment I saw that earlier today, I started thinking like, okay, who's trying to get the three? What are the teams trying to move up the three? Who do they want? Is it Tua? Is that who they're trying? Is it Justin Herbert, the safer pick? I am all about all of this conversation.
I think the Lions should trade Stafford and draft a quarterback at three.
Wouldn't that be a bold move?
Like, I just want wild stuff to happen. Like, what? I don't actually think they should do that, but I just want wild stuff. I love the draft because I want, like, of course, as a Bears fan, I didn't like when Ryan Pace traded up for Trubisky, but I like wild stuff like that as long as it doesn't involve my team.
Well, I mean, but you would kind of like if your team got it right by pulling one of those moves off, right?
If they got it right, but I don't trust Ryan Pace to get it right.
Let's preview the NFL draft with one of the very best, Brett Coleman. His YouTube page, search Brett Coleman on YouTube. He has breakdowns of all the players heading into the draft. He's really good on quarterbacks. You can follow him on Twitter, also at Brett Coleman. Brett, it's Chris and Adam, and as we get things started and we look at quarterbacks like Tua Tagovailoa, do you think that teams should have a major concern about his injury heading into the draft, or should they just look at the talent and suggest that modern medicine will figure a way out and Tua will be a healthy player in the National Football League?
Well, with the videos that have been posted of him working out, it looks like he's making a pretty strong recovery. Some reports from Combine Medical Checks suggest that he's making a pretty strong recovery. Obviously, we might not even know for a couple years how it's going to hold up. Hips can be kind of finicky things, what with limited blood circulation in that joint. So it's really tough to know. Obviously, medical science has advanced a lot since, you know, Bo Jackson's hip problem that ended his career. So without being a doctor, it's almost impossible to say. But I will say this, since you just mentioned potentially the Lions dangling Tua out there and maybe they want to go down and pick up some extra picks and make their football team better if they want to make a run at it again with Matt Stafford, I'll pose this question to you because I don't think anybody's really talked about it. Do you know what team that has two first-round picks and a quarterback contract that only has $2.8 million if they get out of the contract early? That's the dead cap hit is $2.8 million after 2020. You know what team has two first-round picks and that contract flexibility?
Is it the Las Vegas Raiders?
The 49ers.
Oh, that's a good point with Garoppolo.
Because you got to think, okay, the Niners have a lot of good players they're going to have to pay pretty soon here. Jimmy's good, but do we think Tua can be better? You know, if you want to be able to give your team, in terms of team-building strategy, if you get a fifth-round option on a quarterback contract plus a tag, you have control of Tua for 6 years, which ideally you'll find out by the end of that 6 years if his health is going to hold up. We think he's a better quarterback than Jimmy. At the very least, I think he's a better prospect than Jimmy ever was by a mile. We know that Shanahan's an offensive genius, and if you're not paying a quarterback $25, $26 million, and you can save $22 million by cutting him after 2020 if you don't think he's the guy, you know, then all of a sudden you can pay all the other good players on your team that need to be extended pretty soon here. From a team management situation and potentially getting an upgraded quarterback at the same time, the Niners kind of make sense.
See, that's the wild kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's the wild stuff I would love to see. Like, out of nowhere, you get a 49ers trade or maybe the Patriots trade up right and try to get to or something like that. You had a great thread, I don't know if it was yesterday or a couple days ago, about Jalen Hurts and his accuracy. And why are so people so quick to say that Jalen Hurts is inaccurate?
I think it's because they remember his freshman and most of his sophomore year at Alabama when he wasn't accurate. Like, that is a fair statement to say that early in his college career, he was not an accurate quarterback. But things change. You know, if you spend 4 years in college football and you go to the quarterback whisperer that is Lincoln Riley, who has developed three straight transfer quarterbacks to be viable first-round talents, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts, you know, for some reason, people don't understand that quarterbacks can get better between the ages of 18 and 22. Like, that is not a new thing. And Jalen Hurts just flat out got better. You look at statistically, you mentioned that thread that I posted, and he's a more accurate quarterback than Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, and it's not really particularly close. When you look at that OU offense, people think it's just quick game and screens. That is not accurate. They threw only 40 screens all year long. That's about 11% screen rate, which is probably about NFL average. You look at Justin Herbert, he was throwing screens 23% of the time, which no starting NFL quarterback has ever done that. In terms of passes 10-plus yards past the line of scrimmage, meaning working the intermediate and deep passing game, Hurts was throwing it down the field 45% of the time. That was better than any other top college prospect in this class, even Burrow and even Tua. And he was throwing, in terms of on-target accuracy on those downfield throws, 75% accuracy, which was third best in college football. So, you know, we're talking about a kid that is an incredible leader that has shown the ability to get better every single year in college, that has great mobility. He's tough as nails. There's zero health problems with him. And he's just an accurate passer that is nowhere near the kind of player he was as a freshman. I don't understand why he's not being talked about as a first-round talent, because he almost has like a Deshaun Watson-type quality to me, where it's third and seven, you need a play to be made. He's going to make it. Like, I love everything about Hurts. If Chicago picks him up at pick 43 or whatever you guys are at the top of the second, right, that's a home run to me.
Yeah, no, and Brett, both Adam and I have kind of both been, since the end of the college football season, directing Bears fans that way, only because we figured he would kind of be in range. And we also watch a lot of college football, and I know that he didn't play well for the first three quarters against Baylor last season. But in the fourth quarter, everything you just talked about, with his heart and his ability to play well at the end of games and to kind of get his teammates to play well for him, I saw in that Baylor game, and I questioned why people just doubt a player like this. And I wonder if we go 5 years into the future, if Jalen Hurts is going to be the player that we look back and say, man, how did so many teams pass on Lamar Jackson? How did so many teams pass on a guy like Jalen Hurts?
And, you know, you mentioned that Baylor game. I actually just watched it back the other day just because I wanted to refresh myself on what exactly happened. So he had a pick in the first half in that game, and it was off like a pump-and-go switch concept. And the thing with that pick, he was throwing it from the far hash. The receiver, before Jalen even was throwing the ball, the receiver was turning back and looking for it. So if a DB is hauling butt to get down the field because he got rubbed off the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden he sees the wide receiver look for the ball, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to stop and look for the ball. So if the corner's looking for it before Jalen can even get it out of his hands, because the receiver's looking for it way too early and not pressing his route down the field, especially coming from the far hash, yeah, it's going to be a pick. And unfortunately, Jalen threw it, but I would really more put that on the receiver pointing the defensive back right to the ball with his eyes from the start of the play. Now, there were some fumbling problems in that game, which is really the main concern that I have with Jalen, is he fumbled the ball a lot as a ball carrier, not necessarily in the pocket, but just as a runner. And I think he had three fumbles in that game. But you saw in the second half, like you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb was out. He was not playing in the second half. And so he's working with his number 2, 3, and 5 receiver, I think it was. Baylor was bringing pressure like crazy. They were down 25 points, recovering from three fumbles and an interception, and he still won the damn game. What more do you want?
Well, a lot of people want Justin Herbert, and I know you mentioned him. He's kind of shot up. People are now saying that he should go second before it's the second quarterback before Tua.
Surprising, too.
Yeah, I know he can throw a football over the mountains, but I just don't see it with Justin Herbert. Am I missing something?
I am on a Chicago radio station right now, so I don't want to invoke too much PTSD.
Just go for it.
No, you're in a safe space here with Trubisky haters. We're good.
You know us. Come on.
I, I just put out a Film Room episode this week on Justin Herbert, and the title was Justin Herbert is Mitch Trubisky, but cranked up to 11. Because everything that's great about Mitch and bad about Mitch, Herbert has it, but the peaks are higher and the valleys are lower, if you can believe it. And he is so exciting for like two or three games a year, just like Mitch. And then there's two or three games a year on the other side of the spectrum where you're not, you don't even understand how he has a starting job. And he is maddening to watch. He is wildly inconsistent. Again, the peaks are so tantalizing. But when it comes to being a starting quarterback in the NFL, consistency and just knowing that every time you step out on the field, you have a chance to win, that's really important to me. So even if the ceiling for a guy like Hurts isn't as high, just having a quarterback that's accurate, that can see the full field, that can make a play when you really need to under pressure. Remember, Hurts' passer rating under pressure was like eighth best in college football. Herbert's was, I think, like 30 points lower than him. You know, so that consistency and that moxie under pressure is really important to me. And Herbert, just for being a four-year starter, I don't understand how he never got better throughout his career, and it's so frustrating to watch.
Brett Coleman, you can search for his YouTube page. On YouTube, search Brett Coleman. One more name to throw at you before we let you go. A lot of people here in Chicago point to the Bears maybe not selecting quarterback in the second round, but later in the draft, and the name that keeps coming up is the Washington State quarterback, Anthony Gordon. Do you think that Gordon is a worthwhile draft pick for a team to kind of put in their system and hope maybe 3 or 4 years down the line he could play?
If you play in a dome, I'm okay with it. But I was down in Mobile watching Gordon go up, you know, and he was throwing the ball same day as Love and Herbert, and it was 30 degrees and windy down in Alabama, believe it or not. And that was the day that Matt Patricia kept his team out on the field 20 minutes extra just to see how people would react. I love that about him. And Gordon's ball was just dying in the wind. And, again, if you play in a dome for 8 games a minimum a year, that's fine. If you're playing in Soldier Field in December, I don't think it cuts through the wind like you need it to. That's part of the reason why I think Pace liked Trubisky so much, is that he threw a really nice tight spiral with a lot of velocity that could cut through that wind. I don't see Gordon fitting specifically in Chicago. New Orleans, maybe. Bears, probably not.
Thank you, Brett. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Brett Coleman. You can search for his YouTube page, Brett Coleman. Also find his stuff on Twitter, at Brett Coleman. Believe me, it's some of the best draft preview content you can find on the internet. It's fantastic.
I still don't understand why people don't trust Jalen Hurts. Like, there's every character, every off-the-field part you want, every on-the-field part you would want. If you actually look at the stats, Jalen Hurts is one of the better quarterbacks in this draft that isn't named Tua or Joe.
Well, and it's the entire conversation is relatable because Justin Herbert, the senior who played more college football than everyone else, who was at the Senior Bowl, who impressed people at the Senior Bowl, is the guy moving up draft boards. He's also the only quarterback this year that had a pro day. Everyone else's pro days got canceled because of COVID-19. The only one, the Thursday where sports across the landscape were all canceling, that Thursday morning was Justin Herbert's pro day. So he was the only one that got that day. And somehow he's moving up the draft boards. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts dropping? Wait, come on. I mean, I think it's crazy that you would pass up a talent like Tua Tagovailoa to draft Justin Herbert.
Ridiculous to me.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.